Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C., Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor for the Union Tribune, is with me. You know, a lot of times we start these, Jay, and I just, you know, since we're looking at each other, right, we got this live thing going, I don't have that sort of like radio voice. Like, Kevin A., just letting everybody know we're here. It's just, I point to you. I go, there's Jay Posner. So, you know, far more people listen than they're actually watching live. So it's Kevin A.C. and Jay Posner. And I've been trying to inflect some excitement because, Jay, there just isn't a lot of excitement right now. This is a very, very distinct portion of the schedule. It's been such a great, fun season, and right now it just feels like the 2018 Padres.
I was just going to say, so how was that road trip, Kevin? a lot of great ball you saw there. Well, you saw a no hitter, which is still something I haven't seen. So you're two up on me this year alone.
Well, here's the thing is that's what you used to talk about when you would watch a Padres season, right? You saw a no hitter. It was by the other team, though. You saw, great individual performances from time to time, like Fernando Tatis Jr. on Sunday. These are two things that as an observer of baseball, you can be very excited about. Like I very much, I enjoy Joe Musgrove's no hitter far more. I'll say that. But I enjoy watching good baseball. So yes, Jay, but I'm not watching a good baseball team anymore.
No, you are not. And another bad baseball team, at least presently, is coming to town this weekend. The Phillies, I believe, are still over 500. I think they're 61-60. But so you'd say, well, the Phillies aren't playing very well, and that's good news for the Padres. But is it? Because they just finished about 45-50 games, mostly against teams that weren't any good, and they were under 500 against them. I think the Padres are, and you can correct me, I think they're 33-37 now since the 34-19 start.
34-67, yes. Yes.
So 33-30, so that's almost half a season. 33-37 is 70 games, a little bit short of half a season. And, you know, I guess at some point, and you just, and I think I said this the other day to someone, you just have to think maybe the Padres just aren't any good. You know, and we look at it and we look and say, well, they were good at the beginning of the season. They were good enough to go 34-19. They have all these good players that you wrote about it a little bit today with the offense. I mean, all these guys go out there every night. They're above the league average players. And the offense has produced, I mean, I think relative to past Padre teams. Now, that's not always been a high bar, but, you know, still the offense has produced at times, but I think relative to the league this year, the offense is not producing. I think they're probably in the middle to the bottom part.
Yes, yeah, middle. Above average, but middle.
Yeah, right, in a lot of categories. So it's just the idea that, and the Padres, I don't know what else, you know, I know people get upset when the Padres and Jace Tingler say, well, we got to keep going and we're going to play our best baseball. I'm not sure what anybody expects these guys to say. That's what they're not going to say, you know what, guys, we're awful. We're just going to give up. You know, I know we're in playoff position right now, but we know that everybody thinks we suck. So we think we suck too. So I think at some point, the Padres have to back up their words that they are better than this by actually being better than this. And we just haven't seen it for the most part for over 2 months now. I mean, there was the one stretch in there during the 33-37 run where they were like 8-1 or whatever that was. But other than that, yeah, they just haven't been good, and they haven't even been a lot of fun to watch lately. You know, Fernando Tatis obviously was exciting on Sunday, and they had a nice comeback. Nice comeback in Colorado where Grisham hit the home run in what was pretty much a dull game up till that. And then the next night where they had the three home runs in the same inning was certainly an exciting inning. But yeah, they just, it's definitely not what we expected this season to be. It doesn't mean it can't change, but it's got to change pretty quick, right?
Well, it seemed early on, and we'll go through basically the end of May. So for 2 months, and you know what, I would say other than a 2 week period, end of May to middle of June, let's go the first 3 months of the season. This team was last year's team in some ways. And the most important way was being exciting and finding ways to win.
Right.
And not dropping too many games that they shouldn't. You know, those weren't great opponents that the Padres swept in that one home stand. And then, you know, they did have the nice four games against the Reds and three games against the Dodgers in a 11 for 12 stretch at the end of June. They took two or three from the Astros. You know, Fernando Tatis Jr. ties it in the bottom of the ninth. There were so many nights where you said, wow, all those games against the Dodgers. The big game leaving San Francisco. This was that team. That's hard to believe based on what we've seen since then. There was the 24-8 game in Washington. The next night they scored 10 runs. Actually, in their loss, they scored 7. This was a team you're like, okay, all right, they're rolling. They're back to being that, right? And since they went to Atlanta and had to sit through the rain, it is like yeah, Jay, you've said it to me a few times in texts and conversation, and you just said it here. Not that it matters, but I think it's characteristic of their issue. They're boring. Like it's not even like exciting losses, and they know that they're losing games they should win, and that can't help but wear you down. I'm not going to get into. I get so many emails, and I understand that fans are very, very frustrated. I'm frustrated. I can't figure it out. Imagine how they are. But I get so many emails about how it's their attitude and they need to just be better between the ears. You know, they're not playing well together. They've had some injuries. They've had guys who have not performed as they should. I don't know that it's between the ears. Guys are frustrated. They are. They were let down that there wasn't a move at the trade deadline for a starting pitcher. The relievers feel like they're having a lot put on their shoulders. Other than the relievers, I would say, you know, the trade deadline was 20 days ago. Do you want to go to the World Series or not? I mean, you know, I think AJ Preller messed up. He might see a pitcher on Sunday that the Phillies got in Kyle Gibson. And I honestly don't know. I was told it was a lot, but the Phillies did not give up a lot for Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy. That is going to come back to haunt the Padres. If that comes back to haunt the Padres, that's on AJ Preller. But the players that are here are good enough to win. They are. They're good enough to get that second wild card spot.
Right. And you know, in a sense, I mean, the one sort of major move that Preller made at the deadline was a move that I questioned at the time, which was Adam Frazier. And I questioned it because that looking at his numbers, he looked like a guy who had a great first half and he was hitting way above his career norms. And I remember saying on here, the one caveat to this deal is that this guy's hitting way above what he normally hits. And what if in the second half he regresses to what he usually is? And that's pretty much what's happened. I mean, his OPS is down. I think he's right around 600 since the trade, maybe even a little bit below that. And, you know, that's not good. Now, his overall numbers for the season, I haven't even looked at him lately. I'm assuming they're probably still above his career, norms. But he kind of took a guy there, and I don't know if they got him because they were convinced that they were going to trade Hosmer, and they thought that would work out for Cronenworth to play, you know, to play first base, and Frazier would, and then they would really need somebody at second because they didn't want to play Kim full time. So I don't know if that was a move that was made in anticipation of dealing Hosmer, and then that trade didn't happen. And so now they kind of have this extra body, and it means that, you know, usually either Pham or Myers is on the bench. And sometimes maybe that's not a bad thing either, because both those guys have had their struggles. But now you've got Profar most likely coming back tonight. So you've got another extra body that, you know, at times could have been in the lineup. But I just, that move didn't make a lot of sense at the time. It makes less sense now. Not getting a pitcher, we've talked about here many, many times about whether it was worth it or not. The idea, and I guess, look, I've never been a major league ball player or spent, you know, that much time around ball players, but the idea that, you know, you're excited or not excited by a move that's made. Look, these guys have been saying all year long, we have a really good team. We think we're a championship team. Okay, well, so what difference does it make that you didn't get somebody at the trade deadline? You guys have always said you are good enough to win. So I either can't buy that that's an excuse for them not playing well, or it's a really crappy excuse for not playing well because it shouldn't matter. You know, you guys are here, you've said you're good enough, and, you know, okay, so show us how good you are.
This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the auto all-stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Make This the Summer event today.
Now, I agree with you. Absolutely. Convenient.
But
these are also human beings, and we all have a tendency to find reasons to justify our underachievement. And Kyle Gibson's put up three quality starts. I'm pretty sure the Padres could have used that. You've got a rookie who had a 2.74 ERA, I believe, at the time of the trade deadline. And basically, A.J. Preller pinned this season on Ryan Weathers. I mean, you could simplify it down way too much and say he thought he had that spot in the rotation filled, and dang it, he did not.
And if that's the case, then that's an awful lot to pin on a 21-year-old or 22-year-old kid who's never pitched in the big leagues before. That's to say that we're going to get a full season of 2.73 ERA
or even a little more than that. And that Yu Darvish is not going to get hurt. I mean, it's not all one thing. Like I said, simplifying it down too far, but he definitely considered Ryan Weathers a part of the rotation going forward. And right now he's a guy who, you know, that night you're not very confident, all right? And then, you know, a few hours later, Chris Paddock gets hurt. Yu Darvish is hurt. It's tough. The only way I see them getting to the playoffs is, at this point, people being a lot better than they have. It's not just like, well, keep playing. It's, no, you got to play a lot better than you have.
and especially offensively, I think. I mean, that's where, you know, the defensive – those guys have been hurt defensively. Offensively, obviously, they – you know, we're without Tatis for a couple of weeks, but the other guys have all still been there, especially since Austin Nola came back, and he got hot for a while as well. But, you know, Myers, Pham, Grisham, those guys have all been healthy lately. Cronenworth, Hosmer, Machado, you know, that's their regular lineup. And so those guys, you know, you look at the runs scored recently, and, you know, they scored five twice in Colorado and three once. 13 runs in three games in Colorado. That's not enough. You know, playing at that ballpark. You know, they scored 2, 6, and 5 in Arizona. Actually, won the game with 2, and which was pretty good. But just not putting up a ton of offense, especially in the last week and a half. That's, to me, that's where guys are going to have to. Yeah, Snell and Musgrove and these other guys are going to have to, you know, perform. But to me, it's sort of on the offense to say we need to pick everybody up and produce.
You're absolutely correct, because first of all, like, I don't care what the pitching did, the offense hasn't been doing enough. But it's like, I still believe the offense can do that. This pitching, like, I don't know, explain to me how they're doing this. Even if Snell and Musgrove throw 7 innings every time they go out from here on out, I guess if Darvish comes back Tuesday and does the same, then okay, I think they're probably in pretty good shape. But you've still got, when is Paddock coming back? Is it a week and a half? Is it 2? How good is he? And what is Ryan Weathers doing? And your bullpen, are they going to make it to October? So
right,
it's a
no. I don't know the answer to that, and I don't know if Reese Kinnear is the answer for more than, you know, for 4 innings in as a starter, or 5 or whatever, or if it's time to give Miguel Diaz the ball, you know, as sort of the bullpen guy. But I think, and we'll see if it holds up, but I mean, for the most part, I think the bullpen, you know, they ran a bullpen game out on Sunday and used 7 pitchers and pitched a shutout. And that would, look, you're not going to expect that ever again, maybe, but you can expect to have decent games. And I think they have enough guys in the bullpen to sort of put things, you know, to piece things together as long as the other guys hold up. But I do think that, you know, because of that, it's kind of on the offense to do more is the best way to put it.
To do more, to do it together. I mean, it's pretty remarkable how many hitters they have who aren't having terrible years. And then a few who are having really good years, yet they're middle of the pack at best in the offense. It's just really bizarre that they have not been able to put together more innings in which they score, more big innings, to add on after they take a lead early. I couldn't help but, and I talked to some people about it. I think I'd maybe alluded to it before. You know, this team was served very well by that short season. But if you look at some of the numbers, you break down how it's going this year and how it's going last year, which I did a little bit in my story that's in the paper today, it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, maybe the only problem with 2021 is that it's not 2020. Denelson Lamet could stay healthy all year. They could piece together these bullpen games. Will Myers couldn't go into a slump. Eric Hosmer, you know, if he was hot, he was going to have a good start. There was just a lot that went well for them last year. I still think with a one game lead on the Reds that they can make the playoffs. I just have a really hard time finding the path that they do it, because like I said, and you've said, the offense has to be better and the pitching has to get healthy and be better.
Right. And they're going to play, you know, they're going to play better teams, whether the Phillies qualify or not, we'll see. I mean, they're still dangerous. I mean, the top of their order has Segura, Real Muto, and Bryce Harper, who's been fantastic, especially since the All-Star break. Although his numbers for the year are good, but his second half numbers are incredible. Although those guys were slumping this week in Arizona. But after that, we get back into that stretch we've talked about for a long time, where 19 of 36 now because of that suspended game from Atlanta, but 19 of the last 36 are against the Giants and the Dodgers, who both show no signs of slowing down. I mean, the Dodgers appear to be getting better, and the Giants, as much as we talked about it for the first few months of the year, that don't worry about the Giants, they're going to come back. They're not coming back. And, you know, Tom Kraswick pointed out in a story that went up this morning that for the Padres to have beaten out the Giants and the Dodgers this year, right now they would have to be on – they basically would have to be on pace to win 106 games. I mean, that's how good the Giants and the Dodgers are right now. The Giants are on pace, I think, for 105, and the Dodgers for 101 or whatever it might be. Those teams have been incredible. So for the fact that the Padres aren't going to beat out those teams – at those numbers probably is not that big of a deal. But if the Padres aren't going to finish with 92 or 94 wins, that's where I think that becomes a problem, because now you're not even going to get that second wild card. And that's what it's come down to now, is watching the Reds and the Cardinals and even a little bit of the Phillies. The Phillies and Mets, I think, are both about 4 or 5 games back of the Padres right now. So the, you know, what the Giants and Dodgers do is relevant only in the sense that the Padres play them so much, and they're going to have to find a way to win some of those games.
Yeah. I mean, they'll still tell you that, oh, we got those teams in front of us that, you know, we got games against teams in front of us.
Yeah.
You know what you need to wish is you had games against the teams in back of you so you could beat them. because I don't know, you sweep those 19 games, maybe. But at this point, I mean, 17.
Well, yeah, and at this point, I mean, you would take like trying to find a way to, well, I'm not sure how you can split 19 games, but finish around break even with those 19 and take your chances against the rest. But you know, they do have 3 against the Cardinals in September. We'll see. Those could be very meaningful.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the Auto All-Stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Make This the Summer event today.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting here. The Phillies are struggling, but they're throwing Matt Moore pitches tonight, who has not been good except in his last start. He pitched 6 no-hit innings. A left-handed, soft-tossing guy. How did the Padres do against one of those last weekend? And then Aaron Nola, it's a good, really good story that will already be online by the time most people hear this, that Jeff Sanders did on the two brothers who will hopefully be facing each other tomorrow night. And Aaron Nola has been good. And then, as you said, Kyle Gibson on Sunday. So the Phillies are still dangerous this weekend. And then we get, as we said, we get into the Dodgers again next, Dodgers and then the Angels next week. And the Angels were down 10-2 yesterday and found a way to come back and win. So,
Padres will throw Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, and presumably a bullpen game, though you brought up Reese Kinnear, and I think he's a viable option. He's actually pitched really well since his first couple outings for the Padres. Has cut down on the walks, and, at this point, heck. And then we got to see what's up with Jake Arrieta. Understanding is that was a legitimate mild, the Padres always say something's mild. It's mild. We'll see. So if this guy can come back, I don't know if they're pitching him against the Dodgers, maybe he can pitch against the Angels. We'll see. But the fact that we're asking about Jake Arrieta says a lot.
Right. If you can get Darvish back to pitch Tuesday, then you can pitch Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove against the Dodgers.
Yep.
And then you got to worry about the two games against the Angels on the weekend. But that would at least be, get them through this week. And then there's more off days coming.
The off days help a lot.
There's only one stretch the rest of the way where they play more than like 6 games in a row.
Yes. There's one stretch.
That one road trip where they have 10 games.
To play two teams in front of him and one of the teams chasing him on the road. So
yeah,
it's not so good. So Mackenzie Gore pitched last night, Jay. We'd be remiss to not talk about Mackenzie Gore pitching against a bunch of rookies.
And how did he do, Kevin? How did Mackenzie Gore do?
I guess it was 4 2/3 innings of electric stuff. So there we go. He's working faster. They're trying to not give him time to think so that he could just throw strikes because it's been a lot. You want to talk about between the ears. It's been a lot of that with Mackenzie Gore mechanically and then confidence and overthinking. And look, AJ Preller, he's something, right? And these guys are desperate. I'm not going to rule it out. But the way that it's explained is there's just no chance this guy is pitching for the Padres this year. But we can all continue to hope and believe. And I think that says a little something about us if we continue to hope and believe.
I was just going to ask you, so does that mean he's pitching the Friday or Saturday game in Anaheim next week?
I know. Look, they still believe this guy has the stuff. They would have bet you anything that Mackenzie Gore was starting for them this year at some point.
Right.
He has not pitched. That was his first real game. Now, he's faced Fernando Tatis and, different guys that have gone to Arizona to rehab. But he has not pitched in a game until last night against a bunch of guys that he should be getting, I think it was 8 strikeouts, against. To then bring up a kid who has struggled with his confidence and his stuff to pitch in, pennant race. Heck, if they're 10 games out by the end of the year, maybe they bring Mackenzie Gore up and see what he can do. But at this point, that's just not something you do. And I think the fact that we're thinking about it is both a sign of desperation and a sign that we've been waiting for this kid for so long, right? It's a product of that.
And I think I might have misspoke on here a couple times ago. I was thinking that the minor league season was ending at the usual time, which used to be right around Labor Day. It does not end this year at that point. I believe it goes all the way through September, like the major league season does. So there is time because I was thinking, boy, this guy they keep saying he's making progress. He hasn't even pitched in a game. There is time for him to pitch in some games. So I was joking about pitching in Anaheim, but maybe there was a little bit of hint of truth there because you just never know right now with the way things are. But I would hope to see him pitch in games, whether it's in San Antonio or El Paso, you know, sometime here, maybe even his next outing would be against one of those kind of teams and at least build up a couple games where maybe in the middle of September you think about, no, maybe he's our best option. So, we'll, but that's really rosy glasses scenario there for
well, it is, and it's also not Gore. It's also us not, and I know you were just kind of throwing it out there, it's also not paying attention to the fact that A.J. Preller has shown time and again he's not going to just focus on this year. I mean, right. Look at the trade deadline, right? Like, he could have gotten some of these pitchers that other people got, but he wasn't going to give up those certain players to get them. So they have been very careful. It was 2 weeks ago that you first started to hear that they felt like Mackenzie Gore was turning the corner. 2 weeks later, he's pitching against rookies. So they're taking it slow with him. Now, they also believe this kid is incredibly talented and that at one time there was this amazing confidence inside of him. So could he start making some giant jump? Hey, if he's the number one prospect who's going to be Sandy Koufax, then I guess he could. But at this point, should probably be more concerned about the guys that are actually on the roster. And also more disappointed that Adrian Martinez didn't do so well in his AAA start, because that was a guy that they were serious. He might be starting in Anaheim had he not gotten shelled in AAA. That's a guy they were seriously talking about coming up, and they wanted to see him against some, you know, some closer to in AAA. What you get is bounce back guys who've been in the major leagues, you know, veterans, and that sort of thing. And so they wanted to see that, and it didn't go well. So you should probably be more disappointed in that, and more thinking about, will Mackenzie Gore be a part of the rotation, you know, in 2022?
Yeah. Well, maybe Martinez can pitch. I know that El Paso has a 6-game road trip to Round Rock, just because I was looking up their schedule the other day when Rodriguez resigned, just to see how many games were left. And I thought maybe he just didn't want to spend that much time in Austin or something. I'm not sure, although Austin's supposed to be a nice place. So maybe Martinez will pitch better there, and maybe he'll still be the guy in Anaheim next weekend. But anyway, the Padres have 3 with the Phillies, and then I believe an off day on Monday. So we will be back on Tuesday here to talk about what we saw over the weekend and what's ahead with the Dodgers coming to town.
Thanks, everybody.